Good morning. It is time for our weekly visit with Soy Roy, Roy Smith from Cass County, Nebraska, as we update the markets here on a Friday morning. And kind of sounds like we're picking up where we left off last week, a tight basis and some pretty interesting market conditions. Huh, Roy?
Anytime you see soybeans up 24 cents and corn up 15 cents, that's a pretty good day, and that's what we had yesterday. So, yeah, we had a very positive market yesterday, based mostly on outside influences rather than on the fundamentals of the corn and soybean market.
Yeah, that deal that they did in Europe with the Greece debt situation, it kind of buoyed all the commodities, didn't it?
Well, not just commodities, but the equity markets. The stock market had one of the best days we've seen in a long time. And, of course, right along with that, the crude oil. You need to fill up your tractors and cars and trucks as quick as you can because the crude oil was up sharply yesterday. So we'll probably be looking at gasoline and heating oil going up as well.
Now, how about back to the grains, if we can? What would you say? Let's look at basis first of all. We were commenting from last week to this week, the corn basis widened out just a little bit. Are we seeing some more farmer marketing right now?
I don't think so. I think that, you know, here locally, the corn basis is 27 under December futures, and it's been sitting there for quite a while. The thing, I guess, that to me is a little optimistic, although it doesn't help any with the marketing, and that is we got the spread from December futures to July futures, 21 cents, and, you know, normally we look at a spread of 30 to 40 cents as a chance to sell the carry, so there really is no opportunity to sell the carry, or if you want to gain something on the spread, about the only choice is to sell for December delivery, which, you know, you might pick up a couple of pennies, but you know, that's also a very positive indicator in the corn market. Even though we've got corn at $6.25 a bushel, it makes it look like maybe it could go up.
Now, you used a term there that we haven't talked about in a little while anyway, and that's sell the carry. Talk a little bit about what that theory is, how it's used, and I guess why it's not working right now.
Well, sell the carry means that is a difference between the December futures and deferred futures. And in the case for me, I watch December versus July. And there'll always be a spread between those two. Most of the time it's positive going from December into July, and the more positive it is, the more unfriendly or more negative it is in terms of price outlook. And right now we've got a spread that's pretty narrow, which means the outlook is very positive, and, you know, it kind of seems backwards, but that's the way it works. And so in years when the prices are real low and there's a big difference between December and July futures, we sell July futures and wait for the price to cash price to go up. When you have a situation like we have today where the spread between December and July is narrow, then you just lock the bin doors and anticipate that that's an indication of good demand and that the price is probably going to go up later on. It doesn't always work that way, but I'd say 80% of the time it does. And so you look at the carry in the corn market now and you say, well, this is an indicator that people are, buyers are bullish corn, and so you don't sell it.
How about over into soybeans? Have we seen a whole lot of change in things that are influencing the markets there in the last week?
Probably the biggest thing is that the harvest is just about over. And, you know, we saw the basis in soybeans improve dramatically there for a couple of weeks, going from $1 under November futures to 60 cents under November futures. And now we've got the cash spread has widened out. And it tells me that the people that are buying beans want the cash beans. They don't want farmers to put them in storage or to lock them up. They want them now. And so usually that's also a positive sign, and we certainly hope it is this time.
you and I were kind of talking anecdotally that some of these buyers, some of these buying stations, there hasn't been the lineup of trucks that we have seen in years past.
That's what I'm told. I don't grow directly to the processor myself, but I have a lot of neighbors that do, and they say they've been able to haul to Council Bluffs, or in some cases it would be to ADM and Lincoln, but more often than not it's to Council Bluffs, haul over there, dump, and come back, and the turnaround time's been real short, and that is an indication to me that there's a demand for these beans, and the supply isn't as big as you might think in a year when there's plenty of rainfall.
All right. Let's kind of wrap things up here this morning. Roy, what are some final thoughts? What should we be focusing on here as we're about to change the calendar again from October to November?
We are. The dead cat bounce will be 3 weeks old as of the close of trading tomorrow, and we're just right at a dollar a bushel off of the harvest low that was 3 weeks ago. And so, you know, I guess one of the things I like about the dead cat bounce is that it gives you some parameters to tell you when to make sales, and we're right at that point now where sales of cash beans are warranted. And in fact, I rolled my January hedges into a cash position on Monday at a 35 cent under November basis, cleared or netted $13 a bushel for those hedge beans, which, you know, beans can go up, but they can also go down, and I'm satisfied with $13.
For folks that want more information from Roy, how can we get it?
Roy at soyroy.com, and my email address, soyroy.com, my website.
And you got the we'll get the charts updated, and we'll talk to you again next week, okay?
They'll be updated over the weekend.
All right, thanks much, Roy. Roy Smith from Cass County, Nebraska, and an update on the markets here on KTIC.